Now, in teaching from the book of Revelation, how many of you are aware that something is taking place? The other night, when we was down in the basement, little thing took place that seemed real insignificant. Whereas the things of God, they always seem insignificant. It's like Brother Branham said one time, you know, God will do something in some foolish way as to the human reasoning. And that way he hides it. And we use the scripture a lot of times. God has chosen the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise, and that which is naught to bring nothing to bring to naught that which is. So that is nothing in the sight of people. We would say fishermen to be great leaders. See, why didn't God pick a Bible scholar? Why didn't he pick people out of college? Why didn't he pick polished millionaires and orators and great and mighty people? See, the Bible said not many of them are called. They've got their own thing. They're doing their own thing. They've got their reward. They're busy. They can't see God for looking at themselves. And they can't do God's thing because theirs always gets in the way. Too much personal ambition. So what does God do? He picks up some ignorant fishermen. And he makes them the foundation of the holy city throughout eternity. Makes them the foundation of the holy city throughout eternity. And if any polished people get through, any great mighty billionaires get through, rather than ruling, they have to take a bow to those ignorant fishermen throughout eternity. And they become the leaders of those great men. Jesus did that. He'll pick up a man a lot of times that's nothing because he wants to magnify himself. If he picks up a man that's polished and he's got everything, he doesn't magnify himself because everything that happens, as I've said in the past, always is accredited to that man. They say, well, he should be able to do that. He's a great artist. He sings well. He's got a good education. He's got lots of money. He's the man for the job. But when you pick up an ignorant fisherman or an ignorant person, then when something comes about, somebody says, I know that has to be God. That man's ignorant. He ain't got enough sense to do that. You know, he don't have that kind of money. He don't have that kind of talent. And God is glorified, and the glory goes to God. That's why he does it. Not because he doesn't give a call to all. Professional men, money men, he gives a call to all of them. Let whosoever will come. But he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom? They're not going to forsake those things to come with Christ. All right. As I said, we were down there in the basement. And a certain thing happened. Now I want to read a scripture here. Just tying a little thought. Just a little foolish thing as to your mind. And most of you will cancel it out. It's just for the elect anyway. The revelation. Though God says it to you, he says it to me. What I send to one, I send to all. And though the gospel is to every creature, yet in all reality, the wonderful things of God for the translation of the church is just to the elect. They'll be the only ones that'll get it. Though the others will hear it, they won't get it. Chapter 6, the 12th verse, the book of Revelation. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? All right, let's turn over to the book of Matthew's. You've got your Bibles, first of the New Testament. Turn over to Matthew's. Okay? Here we are in the book of Matthew's, the 24th chapter. This is when Jesus was walking the earth and the record was being kept of his life. Here in the book of Matthew's, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. He is sitting upon the Mount of Olives. Now, some of you have been upon the Mount of Olives, and some of you, the Lord being good to you, along with myself and Betty, I trust, we'll be going back over. We've been several times into the Holy Land. This will be about the fourth time. And if the Lord sees fit for us to do it, we'll be back over in the Holy Land, and you'll be right there with me as we walk across the Mount of Olives. And you'll see where he sat as he talked about these things. Okay, now, sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples begin to fellowship just like me and my brethren here fellowship a lot of times. As a matter of fact, when the priest from the Catholic Church was here, he said, "Oh, this reminds me so much of Jesus and his disciples." And we sit around and talk, you know. And a lot of times it is Jesus and his disciples, for the Bible said it's not the preacher that's speaking, but God speaking from within him. And ye are sons of God. So, you will be able to see this if you go with us. I want you to listen real close. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now this is what I want you to notice. "Of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." Okay. "They ask him," said, "And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" This is the question they ask him. And here he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." Remember now, remember where you're living. It said into all nations. Do you know that there's hardly a nation in the world that the gospel hasn't gone into? Hardly a nation in the world. Now remember, the Lord doesn't play games. He said, "And then shall the end come." You might say, "Well, I've heard that, Brother Pike, and I've read that, and people talk about the coming of the Lord, and they say this age is different and that age is different, and one preacher said it was going to be like this, and it was going to come at a certain time, and another preacher, he said it would be like this, it's going to be at a certain time, and all that went by, and it didn't happen." It'll happen the way this preacher says it, just exactly the way he says it. Because this preacher says it just exactly the way it's wrote, and the scriptures cannot be broken, altered, nor changed. And you remember this, is what this preacher says. "When shall be the sign of thy coming?" What shall be the sign of thy coming? And and the end of the world. Jesus, I ask you the question, when shall this be? All right, Brother Pike, I'll answer you. It's like this. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Brother Taylor, he answers you. Brother Taylor, then shall the end come. No game about it. Won't be another preacher. Won't be another message. Won't be another thing. It'll be exactly the way that he said it. You might think, well, he's never coming and he's delayed his coming and I don't know and maybe it can be and maybe it can't be. I tell you in the name of the Lord, he will come and he will come at that time. When the gospel has been preached in for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. That's why Brother Pike is interested in ships and boats, houses, buildings, planes, tents, tractors, video, radio, literature, anything I can get a hold of, printing presses, whatever, personal witnessing, using people for the glory of God, is I want to get the gospel into all of the world for a witness to all nations. Already we're in every major language of the world. And I want to get the gospel into all of the world for a witness, because I want him to come back. The Bible said, they that love his appearing shall be like him and shall be changed into that immortality that he possesses when he returns. Or we shall see him as he is. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take any thing out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now what days is he speaking of? The tribulation days. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Remember now, I've tried to emphasize this a lot of times. Don't let anybody come along with some secret kind of a doctrine or some kind of a revelational thing that they got where Christ is secretly going to come back, you know, and nobody's going to know anything about it, you know, and it's just going to be one of those things. And like the man from Texas that come through to visit with us, it was such a secret coming that he said that he wouldn't get here at all. He said it'd just be in the church and in the body, and that'd be it. Wouldn't be no Jesus, you know, as to the natural coming of Jesus. So you just remember now, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What does that mean to us? That he will come from the east. That's where he was born. That's where he had his ministry. That's where he died. That's where he was resurrected. That's where he'll come to and set his foot upon the Mount of Olives, because the Bible said that as these two men stood by, as he ascended up, the angel there stood by, and the men stood there. The Bible said, it was said unto them, why stand ye gazing, looking at this man or this, we say king or savior, Pilate called him the king of the Jews, as he departs, why stand here looking at him in this way? gazing upward as though you don't know where he's gone to, or you'll never see him anymore? He says, why do you do this? He said, for as you have seen him leave, he'll return in like manner. He'll come back just the same way that you saw him go as you stood here gazing. He left as the king of Israel. He left as a man ascending. He was flesh and bones, and said he will come back the same way. He'll come back as flesh and bones. He'll come back in the same place. He'll set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. He'll come back as the same king of Israel, as the one that was rejected. He'll come back. Here he sits on the Mount of Olives talking. He'll come right back. And then the Bible says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east, that is, it'll flash out of the east at his coming. It'll flash out of the east, and you'll see it all over the world. Everywhere you'll see something. Now you say, what will I see, Brother Pike? You will see the sign of the Son of Man. Now, Brother Jimmy asked me about that, asked me if I'd say something about it. Strangely enough, I was planning to mention it this morning. The sign, I don't know that I'll elaborate on it, but I want to bring that out. The sign of the Son of Man. Now listen real close. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Okay, I told you. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Okay, now you know the ones that's been killed out. You know the Jews. You know they're considered the carcass. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you really believe that's going to happen? That the natural stars is going to fall out of heaven? It's going to happen exactly that way. Say, oh, but that's the spiritual things. It's true, it's spiritual. I brought out the spiritual revelation of it. Numbers of times I've bordered just a little bit on these things. There definitely, there's a great, mighty spiritual revelation in it. And these things happen in the spirit. And all of those things that happen in the natural was only for a type, so that the spiritual things could be conveyed to our natural mind, the invisible things. Whereas the Bible said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. But listen now. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. There it is, the sign of the Son of Man. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Okay, it says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, what generation is he speaking of? Number one, the generation that sees these things. Once they start falling, that generation won't pass away till all of it's completed. Number two, he's speaking of the generation that he is in. It is shortly after this that he goes up on the mount and is transfigured before them, and they see him appear in his glory. Now, it's about this time. I spoke to you of Daniel the prophet, what the abomination is, when it would come to pass. You got that on tape. I taught it very carefully. We'll still hit those things every once in a while to revive them in your mind. I told you that the end of the world, when it would come. Now then, I tell you of the sign of the Son of Man. Let's go back again over to the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. I'm just going to talk with you a little today now. Teach a little. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. I remind you that every so often. The Lord called me as a preacher and a teacher. All right, now, if you'll notice, Revelation 6, the sixth seal has been opened. Just before the sixth seal and the fifth seal, they're under the altar. And when it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and was said unto them that they should rest for yet for a little season, unto their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed, as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, I won't have time to really get into this. Things that I'd like to say, I'd really like to get into this. But I want you to listen now. And when he had opened the sixth seal, remember there's only one seal left. All of them are open in the sixth chapter. Only the seventh one is left. It's open in the eighth chapter. Between the sixth chapter and the eighth chapter being the place where the trumpet sounded and the wrath of God was loose, between the eighth and the sixth chapter is the seventh chapter of the sealing of the 144,000 and of the great multitude that was caught up to the throne. So then, all of them were open in the sixth chapter, except the seventh seal. So here is the sixth seal. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Wasn't that exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24? Read it over there in Matthew 24. What did he say? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. Let's look at it and see if this is it. And the stars of heaven fell. See just exactly what he said many years later. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. John saw this 96 A.D. Jesus had gone to Calvary, 33 A.D. Here's a few short years. John's exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He's writing about these things. He sees it many, many multiplied years before it ever comes to pass down here in our time. See, he sees it. So he writes about it. And it says here, the stars fell unto the earth, even as fig tree casteth her untimely fig, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Remember, Jesus said, when the fig tree putteth forth its leaf. This also has to do with the Jews. I brought it out in Revelation as to Calvary and the rejection of the Jews. And the kings of the earth, it tells how they run, hid themselves. The bondsmen cried for the rocks and mountains to fall on them. Then they said, for the great day of his wrath is come, for who shall be able to stand? After this, the four angels stand on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. See, this, all of this in the book of Revelation. Every bit of this. What did he say? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. That's in Matthew's. See, that's over in Matthew's. It's in the 24th chapter and the 30th verse. See, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. What does he say in the book of Revelation? He doesn't call it the Son of Man, does he? It just says, and the great day of his wrath is come. For they saw the face of him sitting on the throne, and they run for the rocks and the mountains. There was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. This also parallels with Revelation 12, Revelation 12. And Calvary. Alright. So you see, this is the sign of the Son of Man. Where is it at? At the beginning of Daniel's last week. I want to remind you one more time. I've said this a lot of times, but I say it again to Peter, said, though you know it, I say it to stir up your mind. 70 weeks, Daniel, determine upon thy people, speaking of the abomination that maketh desolate. 70 weeks, Daniel, determine upon thy people to make an end of sin. 69 weeks transpired. 1 week was left. And that week never was fulfilled. For 69 weeks to the cutting off of the Messiah, and then the last week of the 70 is to come to pass in our day. That is at the going away of the church, as we would say. So, that means that there is 1 week. We call it a week because it was called weeks by the angel. The last week of Daniel, the last of the 70 weeks. And it is there is a covenant to be made from the beginning of this week. And it will last exactly 3.5 years. Or it will go down to the middle of the week. And then the covenant will be broken. All right, I'm just putting these things in your mind so that if I start hollering at you a little or preaching at you a little bit, you'll understand what I'm saying. All right, so we see the sign of the Son of Man. What happens when the sign of the Son of Man comes? He seals 144,000 in Revelation 7. He catches a great multitude up to the throne that no man can number, which is the church. The nation is born in one day, 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe, the nation of Israel. And then all of a sudden, see, he has appeared in the heavens. They see the nail prints. They see him there on the throne. They see the same Jesus. A nation is born in one day. They begin to mourn. All of a sudden, Moses and Elijah comes on the scene. All right, now, why does Moses and Elijah come on the scene? See, why is that? So that these people can be converted to Christ, to become a Christian, be taught for 3.5 years, taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, now, look at it. Following this, the 8th chapter, the 7th seal is open, and then you know what happens with all of those trumpets sounding, the last 3 of them being, whoa, 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 the 3 woes, and how the locusts come out of the earth, how the star falls from heaven, the key to the bottomless pit, many of these things. We just kind of run across that the other day. Okay, now, notice then that in the following of that, as to the opening of the 7th seal, the following of these trumpets, just before the last one sounds, it says, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. He said, goes on to say that there should be time no longer. The end of the world. The end of time is the end of the world. Because there isn't going to be an end of the earth. There will never be an end of the earth. You people that are waiting for all the heavens to fall in and the earth to blow up and not to be no more earth and no more heaven. See, that will never be. It is true that this earth that you're on will pass away. And the heavens you see will pass away. But it will only pass away to the extent of a translation. It will then be considered a new earth and a new heaven wherein dwelleth God. Righteousness. So, the end of the world, time no longer. Now, remember, what we're teaching you right here at Bethlehem. Perhaps they're teaching it everywhere. Maybe in Israel, maybe in the Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, non-denominationals. Maybe they taught it before we come. But I can say that I truthfully never received it, as Paul said, of man. By any book or tape or any record, I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I saw it, sister. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. You just got that old thing in you and it just has to rise up. But I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. By the revelation. And that's what I've been teaching you, is that there is a beginning of time, and there is an end of time. And I've been teaching you what time is, when time got started, when time ends, and what it is, so that you will know what it is, when it got started, and you can tell when it ends, and when it will be no more. Alright, so, this I only said to confirm what Jesus said in Matthew 24. He said, in the end of the world, what will be the sign of your coming? He told them, Now, it's very obvious that here in Revelation 6, that those things that he had told them in Matthew's had already took place. By the time we get to Revelation, or the book of Revelation, they've already took place. Because he could not have appeared in the heavens had they not already taken place. Because he said that you'll have all these things about the rumors of wars and earthquakes and different things, but said the end is not. Not yet. See, he went on to tell them what it would be. And then he told them what would be the end of the world. So these things have already taken place. By the time that he appears, Matthew's is fulfilled then. By the time he appears, because he cannot appear till those things take place. Even the abomination has to be at hand. All right, now the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Notice this, though he appears here at the first of the week, yet the exercising of his authority as to the casting in the sickle from the white cloud, it's shown after the middle of the week. It's shown that the sickle is cast in for the reaping of the earth. Now, I said this to you the other day, and maybe it's a little hard for you to get a hold of this because there's a whole lot to it. And I'm just trying to take a little bit at a time. But let's just turn over to the book of Revelation. I just thumb through the Bible a lot of times so that you'll know where I'm speaking from and what these things have to do with. All right, here it is. You see Revelation 12 brings about the middle of the week. You see Revelation 11, the prophets are killed. You say, Brother Pike, just because you read Revelation 12 and Revelation 11, you say that's the middle of the week, and you know that means that we got to believe it's the middle of the week. What makes you think it's the middle of the week? What makes you think that we ought to think that it's the middle of the week just because you say it's the middle of the week? Well, it's my job as a minister to prove that it's the middle of the week. Just like the first of the week, we've proven to some extent, it's the first of the week. You say, what do you mean by that? One of the things that proves it is that Jesus cannot appear until Matthew's 24 is fulfilled. And it's very obvious that it has to be fulfilled if he appears here in the heaven. And we could say some more things about it. All right, Brother Pike, what makes you think it's the middle of the week? How do you know it's the middle of the week? Because in Revelation 11, it says, here, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And then I went over to the other place right over here, and I showed you where it was said concerning the beast. In Revelation 13, he comes up out of the water, personifies himself, and immediately Revelation 13 and 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 weeks, the time of the trampling down of the days of the Gentiles. Now, that is, they trample down the courts. Now, I know time is already no more. See, when we get to this place, time is no more. This is why he gives it. Like this, if you'll notice it, he puts it like this, and it'll be for times, time and a half a time. Now, I have to go into explain it as to tell you what I'm saying. But is this the middle of the week? It said these two prophets are killed right here, lay in the street for several days. Now, is this the middle of the week? He said these are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. He said, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Think it over now. See, 1,260 days, that means 3.5 years. Isn't it right? It said they will prophesy that long. And it no more than finishes saying that according to the reading. And then it says they're dead. It's very obvious they did not carry out their 1,260 days. Because here he says it and then all of a sudden they're dead. Within the sounding of the same trumpet. Which means they already have had to do it. See, if they're dead, then that means they've already completed their ministry. And if they've already completed their ministry, that means it's been 3.5 years since these two prophets started. That means that you're in the middle of Daniel's week. You done used up half of that week, half of that 70 years, 3.5 years. Does that make sense? I say no if it don't. Does it make sense? Raise your hand if it makes sense. All right. Maybe some of you don't understand. That's okay. I understand that you don't understand. Now, all right, so then it's very obvious that when he speaks here in the same chapter, he speaks of the 42 months. Now, this 42 months is not the 1,200 threescore days of the ministry of the prophets. Now you say, I don't know, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. Well, let's look at it again. Let's look at it from the Scripture. The Bible said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. You say, well, what is it? It's the last part of Daniel's week. How are you going to prove that, Brother Pike? I read it to you, Revelation 13, even after the prophets is dead. Revelation 13 and 5 said, and this beast comes up blaspheming, doing all these things, and he's given power to continue 42 months. See, which means if he continues 42 months after the prophets is dead, that's the last 3.5 years. If that makes sense, raise your hand. Does that prove that this is the middle of the week that I'm talking about? See, we preach up here, and a lot of times it looks like, you know, somebody says, well, bless God, I just don't see it that way. You know, you think I'm guessing, and you know, but I'm not doing that. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I just don't have time. My time is so limited that if I took time to do this all the time, I'd hardly ever preach to you. See, my time is so limited when I'm up here that I can't go into all those things. Now, if you give me plenty of time and I just take your time like Paul did all night long, then I can explain it. But we've got a lot of people who go to bed early, so I can't do that. They go to sleep early whether they stay or whether they don't stay. So, you understand then what I'm saying. Now, it is also said, and I try to get these things as straight as I can here. It is also said in Revelation 12, before your 42 weeks. Revelation 12, in between chapter 11 and chapter 13. Chapter 11 speaks of the witnesses of the prophets of those days. Chapter 13 of the 42 weeks, that's also referred to in chapter 11. And then chapter 12, here being in between, after that Lucifer's cast out now, it brings chapter 13, where he personifies himself. John sees him come up out of the waters. I just wish we had time to talk about that. Comes up out of the waters. The accuser's cast out. There's war in heaven. Michael and his angels fight. They cast the devil out. Then it says great wrath is come down to them that's in the earth for this 42 months. See, great wrath said because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. See, when the devil is cast out, he knows he's defeated. As long as he's in the spirit, you're not going to convince him he's defeated. As far as he's concerned, he's going to rule the world. But when he is cast out, and that's where we're at now, when he is cast out, then he knows that he is defeated. So he knows it's just a short time then. And the Bible teaches that he's going about like a roaring lion. He's going to gather all the nations together. Three unclean spirits like frogs is going to come out of his mouth. Out of the mouth of the false prophet. Out of the mouth of the dragon. Out of the mouth of the beast. And they're going into all the world. Revelation 16, the 13th verse. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirit of devils working miracles. Can you imagine that? Devils working miracles. Somebody said, glory to God, he's got miracles. The Bible said a sinful and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. To gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Okay? This was when he had poured out the sixth vial of the last seven vials of the wrath of God. 16th chapter. He pours it out upon the river Euphrates, that it might be dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. That great army that is spoken of over here in the sounding of the trumpets of the 200,000. See, the king of the east, all those people like China, awakening, the sleeping giant. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be any natural things of these locusts and whatever. See, those things are coming, but I'm speaking of the spiritual application now and the natural application. I'm trying to take them alongside. Okay, let's say this, side by side. Here in Revelation 12, notice it now, there is a different terms given here. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. Are you listening now? Okay, now that's a different terms there, isn't it? Altogether a different time, or terms. Who is the woman? Israel. Israel. When does this happen? After Michael fights in heaven, him and the angels. Where is that at? It is in the middle of the week. You say, how do you know that, Brother Pike? Because the prophets are dead in Revelation 11. Here comes Revelation 12. How do you know, though, that this has to do with the prophets? Because it said, he that cometh out of the bottomless pit shall make war against those prophets and kill them. Right there in the middle of the week. All right, now. What is the woman doing? She's birthed her child. See, John saw her with the crown of 12 stars. He saw her with the clothed in the sun being the glory of God, the crown of 12 stars being the teaching of the 12 apostolic leaders. Jesus said, and they'll rule over the 12 tribes sitting on thrones. And the moon under her feet being the law, the lesser light, the sunlight being the New Testament as to the glory of God. Now, she will come into it in the middle of the week. John saw this in the middle of the week. Immediately after he saw this in Revelation 12, the war comes, Revelation 13, and then in Revelation 14, you see the 144,000 redeemed from the earth standing on Mount Zion. I say again, the tomb of David is at Mount Zion. But remember, by this time, heaven and earth have become one now. It's done, become one. It's not a separated thing anymore. So these are redeemed. Where are they standing? On the mount. Where is that at then? It's in heaven then. Why? Because Jesus, the one from heaven, is there with them. See, it's real beautiful. We don't have time to elaborate on it. Richard asked, where were they? Where were they? Brother Richard said, where were they? Who are they? Where did they go? All right, wish we had time to elaborate on it. Now, so it says here, a time and times and half a time. And I told you that this has to do with the Old Testament too, of the times that God tried Israel and the trials that they went through with. But it also, a time here indicates a year. Times indicates 2 years. And a half a time indicates a half a year, which makes 3.5 years again. See, so when does this come to pass? It comes to pass in the middle of the week. The prophets are dead. The war has been in heaven. The thunders are fulfilled. Because that's what the thunders is war in heaven. Over here, Revelation 10, the end of time. Somebody said, well, if it's the end of time, what are they doing down here? Why is the world going on? Well, it's like this, folks. I know you don't realize it, but the end of the world was at Calvary. That's why the last week was deferred. See, it's just picking up past Calvary, going on with that end of the week. You say, but all this is time, Brother Pike. It is time for those that have not come to the knowledge of God. It is the church ages. The church ages, the end of the world at Calvary. This has been the church ages. And we passed from death unto life by the body of the Lord Jesus. We went into the heavens and we have been in heaven ever since. That's why Jesus stood talking to Nicodemus in his body of bone and flesh and blood and said, the Son of Man said, no man has ascended up into heaven except me, Nicodemus, the Son of Man that came down from heaven. He said, Nicodemus, I'm still in heaven. See, I know you don't understand that, but nevertheless, some of you understand what I'm saying. All right, we don't have time to go into that. We've got some teachings on tape about it. This has to do with the rapture of the church, his body in particular. All right, now, Paul's mystery. We shall not all sleep. All right, now, when we look at it, we got a times time and a half a time, which has to be the 40 and 2 months. It has to be the 40 and 2 months. You say, why, Brother Pike? Because here is war in heaven, and the devil has been personified. And the Bible said he makes war with the prophets, and he kills the prophets. And they can't be killed until the end of the 3.5 years. So if they're killed at the end of the 3.5 years, and the devil's on the scene, and if he's on the scene and the prophet is dead, it states emphatically that he shall continue 42 months. He can't stay over time. He can't stay under time. It has to be 42 months. So you know that that's the middle of the week. Not only that, but it is the breaking of the covenant that brings in the abomination that maketh desolate. That's why that Jesus casting in the sickle in Revelation 14, when the 144,000 appears, that's why it is deferred to the 14th chapter. See, the first of the week, it appears. The Jews acknowledge it. What happens then? You and I go away like that. Somebody says, where is the church going to be, Brother Pike? At the first of the week, the church goes away. When Jesus comes and appears in the heaven, that's your cue and my cue. We go away. We go away. See, at the first of the week. Somebody said, well, don't nobody know when that's going to happen. Jesus didn't say that. Somebody said, well, nobody know. Bless God, ain't nobody perfect. Don't nobody know. The Bible said Job was a perfect man and said, for you to be therefore perfect. And Mark, the perfect man. End of him is peace. The end of him. And then nobody don't know. Nobody don't know. The Bible said, and ye are not children of your intellectual reasoning, which is darkness, but children of light. Said that day's not going to come upon you unaware. You'll know when it's nigh, even at the door. So then when it is nigh, when is it nigh? When is it at the door? When the gospel has been preached in all nations, you know that it's nigh, even at the door. You know that it's coming. Jesus did not say that you could not know his coming. They asked, said, when is the sign of your coming? He told them what it was. But he said, no man shall know the day nor the hour. He isn't going to let you know the day nor the hour. He said, for as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. Not as a snare to you and I now. We're ready. We're ready. All he's got to do is give the midnight cry and we'll rise up and trim the weeks because we've got the oil in our vessels. But all these other religious people that don't have the Holy Ghost, at the midnight cry, what's going to happen? Just like them few that just left us that I just finished talking about. They went out there. I told them they didn't have the oil. They went out there. They're in intellectual darkness now, and it proved out they didn't have the oil. Some of you don't have the oil. I tell you, you better get it. Are you listening now? Somebody said, well, you mean to tell me that we can't get it, Brother Pike? Once that the church is gone, we can't get it. I'm not saying that. The Bible said, and these went to get the oil while the others went into the ark. They went in with God. See, they went to get it, but when they come back and begin to knock, he said, it's too late. It's too late. You had your revival too late. All right. You are in intellectual darkness. If you don't have the oil, when the light comes and your eyes come open, see, you're going to say, oh my God, there he is. There he is. Because your eyes will come open. And the veil of death, which is intellectual reasoning, will be taken away. The veil of darkness that Paul spoke of. See, it will be taken off of the child. But when it's gone and you see the light, you'll only see it to your destruction. For he will destroy them with the brightness of his coming. You'll only see it to go into the lake of fire. See, but our eyes are already open. All right. We've already rent the veil, Jesus at Calvary. Now, let's say a few more things and I'm going to close. I'm just talking to you. All right, now, how is this now? It has to be the 42 months. Because, as I said, the beast is on the scene. Now look at Revelation 14, which is coming over from Revelation 13. The beast is on the scene now. Coming over. Remember, the beast comes on the scene. He does what he wants to do. Revelation 14, Babylon falls. Babylon the Great is falling. It says that a great angel comes down from heaven. He has a great light. And he's crying out, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, Babylon is fallen. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, which she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And a third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wrath of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now look, it said, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now, the thought is this. Why is he saying, blessed are the dead that will die from henceforth? Their labors are going to follow them. Their works are going to follow them. They'll rest from their labor. It's because it's Revelation 14. The beast has done come on the scene. He's done come up out of the waters. And now here is Jesus appearing on the cloud. He's casting in the sickle. What does it mean when he casts in the sickle? I know some of you ain't paying a bit of attention. That's all right. Like the vision I've seen, you'll go to sleep. Go on to sleep. They that be drunken in the night. They that sleep, sleep in the dark. Go ahead with your intellectual wilderness wandering. Pay no attention and wish later that you had her. I should have went ahead and closed out. But there's a few of you that want to hear this, and the others are just an aggravating situation that really causes me problems. It says in Revelation 14, this Son of Man was sitting on the cloud, white cloud. He casts in his sickle. What is he doing casting in his sickle? It is the killing. It is the Antichrist killing the people that refuse to take the mark of the beast. That's what the casting into the sickle is. The one that refused to take the mark of the beast, the number of his name, Antichrist begins to kill them. The blood begins to run. God calls it Christ casting in his sickle. Because can evil come to a city and I have not sinned, it saith the Lord. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I kill and I make alive. And any time a person dies, the Lord receives them. The Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. So he casts in his sickle. It is the rampage of Antichrist. Look what happens following this. These are blessed people that are received. Remember, the church is already gone. The church left way back over here at the first of the week. Over here at the first of the week, the church has already been translated. It's already gone. It is accounted for over here where John in Revelation 7 sees them in heaven. He sees them in heaven. The door is open in chapter 4. I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And here that door was the same door that Peter opened when Jesus gave him the keys. John writes about it just a few short years later on the Isle of Patmos, and then way down here in our time, it comes to pass that we discover this door, the Law and the Prophets until John. Jesus said, now I am the door. The sheep can go in and out. The veil is rent. There's nothing between heaven and earth. I'll make it manifest in the middle of Daniel's last week, and then you'll know what I've done at Calvary. I wish we had about a month to talk about that. But anyway, I'm just running through these things, and some of you are going to catalog it. When you get down the road, kind of like a cow chewing the cud, you'll bring it back, you know, and you'll chew on it a little, and then the Lord will open it up to you. All right, so great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I'm made a steward of the mystery. Look at this following now. It says, the 144,000 is up there with the Lord. And here he is, after they get up there, they've been sealed, Revelation 7. They go through Revelation 8, 9, 10. Come right on through Revelation 11. They come right on through the sounding of those trumpets where the locusts can't hurt them because they're sealed. Then they're caught up here on the mountain with Jesus. Then all of a sudden, once they come into security, then the Lord comes. That is, he casts in the sickle. He's already come for you and I. See, of course, he did that a long time ago. But I'm telling you, he's already come in the natural. He's coming in the natural. He's coming in the natural for you. He's coming back. The Jews are going to see him first of the week. 7 years left. He'll come. Then all of a sudden, these things will transpire. People will cry for the rocks and mountains, but he won't stop the operation. He'll let it ease on. And then in the middle of the week, and right here in the book of Revelation in the 14th chapter, as soon as them Jews are caught up to the Lord, that quick it's made manifest what he done in Revelation 7, because it's one and the same thing. And the sickle is cast in. And notice this, this is then the end of the Gentiles. Somebody said, when will the end of the Gentiles come? That is the end, right here. Watch, when Antichrist does this, the Lord will let him continue his 42 months. Notice this now, but God will shorten the days for the elect's sake. That is, he'll continue as far as that is given unto him. But he will shorten the days because the way that Antichrist will pounce on the people, see, and the bombs and all these things, it wouldn't be nothing left. It would be such a terrible war when the four winds is turned loose that he'll have to cut it short. Now watch right here. That's what he's doing. He's cutting it short now. He's taking them on out. Notice this, and I'm going to try to close right after this. It said, and another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Now look at this. Now this is after the reaping. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Okay, now, the thing is, what does this mean? What does this mean? Read it. Immediately following this, those angels are seen, Revelation 15, 16, they're seen here with the seven last vials of the wrath of God. It is seen here, the righteous along with the Jews standing on the sea of fire. It is seen here that the smoke from the temple of God, the glory, nobody can enter in now. The days of the Gentiles over. Can't nobody else go in. That stops it right there. Until these vials are finished. Notice now. And with this, speaking of 14th chapter, gathered it into the winepress of Almighty God. What does it mean? It means that in between that declaration and the pouring out of the seven vials, that in between there, or in between the statement is the pouring out of the seven vials, and in between that chapter of Revelation 14, comes 15 and 16, the fall of Babylon, and then there comes 17. When 17 comes in, one of the angels come to tell John about the great whore. Comes to tell John about the great whore that sits upon many waters. I'm not going to go into that. And then following Revelation 18, and she is cast down, done away with, Revelation 19, the great white horse, and the blood-dipped vesture to make war with Antichrist. So what is being said in Revelation 14? Cut down the vine. Somebody said this went through the grapevine. Speaking of people now, our vine has tender grapes. Revelation 14, what does it mean? It means that God is cutting down the vine. What does that mean? It means that in the last vial that's been poured out shortly after that, next to the last vial, the sixth vial, it means making way in the river Euphrates for the kings of the east.
And for those great armies that will come in there, when they move across there, that is the cutting down of the vine, because it is said that the three unclean spirits, like frogs, go out into all the earth to gather all the kings together with their people. And then they're led right into the winepress of Almighty God, which is the breadbasket of the world, the battle of Armageddon. For it says, and they gathered it into the winepress of the Almighty God, and it was trod without the city. God comes down in Revelation 19 on that great army that is spoken of in Revelation 16. Let's check it to be sure that's spoken of in Revelation 16. In Revelation 19, God comes with his great army. He comes down on that. And when he does, he tramples them till the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. That's the angel cast in the sickle and cut down the vine. Following that comes the first resurrection. And that is where those people come back to life that was beheaded, that gave their lives, and they will rule and reign 1,000 years with the Lord Jesus. When will they come back to life? Somebody said first resurrection. That means, Brother Pike, there ain't been no resurrection. So we're going to come out of the grave. And I'm going to say this in close. No. How can we come from heaven if we're coming out of the graves? The Bible said, and they followed him from heaven. These saints followed him from heaven. That means that before this resurrection, the saints had to get into heaven. How did they ever get into heaven? Just like John said in Revelation 7. There they were, the door opened in Revelation 4. Here they are returning. What are they doing now? They're coming to join forces with the Jews. And when they do this, the woman will come out of the wilderness. I wish we had time to go into that. Maybe we will sometime. But at this time, it is the resurrection of them that died through the tribulation. They come up. And when they come up, it is called the first resurrection. Now, why? Why is that? Because the saints of God are already gone. And the saints of God in their resurrection, I told you. You look over there at the first of the week, God let things go right on. He didn't bother nobody. See, and they're gone. The wicked dead doesn't come forth. They come forth. In, you say, that could be the wicked dead. That can't be the wicked dead. So these ruled and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And it couldn't be the wicked dead, because it is after that that the 1,000 years millennium comes in. And the Bible says that the wicked dead live not again until the 1,000 years was finished. So, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. So then, when the Lord comes back and the saints come up, he's not accounting that for as the first resurrection, as the printed page, as pertaining to the tribulation. But it is the first resurrection to us. Even when Jesus stood at the tomb, he said, I am the resurrection. See, so it's a different world altogether as to them and to you and I. So somebody said, well, he's got to get us out of here, Brother Pike. He doesn't have to get us anywhere. The Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. So I ain't coming down here to break no graves to get you out of nowhere. So it is a translation and a transformation and a great, mighty change. Let's stand together. A lot of things I'd like to say, but it'd take all night, so we better. When I got through in the morning, I would have covered just a fragment of these things. After studying all of his life, Paul still had to sit down for 3 or 3.5 years before he could understand what was being said. That's why he said, great is the mystery. Great is the mystery. Let's sing a little chorus, can we? Song, I love him. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation.
crucifixion on Calvary's tree. And the Bible said, and the false prophet was taken, and the beast that deceived them, all of them was taken, and they were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone, and they were to be tormented in the presence of the angels and of the Father of the saints forever and ever. While we sing again, the altars are open. I didn't explain these things much. I couldn't. I don't have the time. I wished I could. But even what little I went into, you're done beginning to get drowsy, you know, spiritually drowsy. I'd like to talk to you about them because it's late, folks. It's late, folks. It is so much later than you could ever imagine. It's late. But somehow, Jesus, people are dull of hearing. They're dull of hearing. We have the human side of life, and we choose a lot of times to walk in the human side of life rather than in the angelic side of life. And because of that, we don't get these things. We only get the human side of life. The Bible said if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. But them that have really been born of the Spirit, they're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Their conversation is in heaven. Their faith, their hope, their affection is all in heaven. They don't care about the things of the world. They sold their homes. They sold, gave up their land. They gave up all they had. Laid it down at the apostles' feet, which say nothing was theirs. They did not seek after education, prestige, and position in the earth. People who love the earth, love the things of the earth, seek after all those things because they're happy in the world. And they do this so they can have more comforts and convenience and happiness in the world. You're not to scold them and get upset with them. That's the land of Esau. That's their land. Let them have their land. But don't you bother with it. See, your inheritance is on the other side. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the other side. We sang that song, on the other side, treasures there have I. Treasures that this world and all its wealth could never buy. So, what do we do, folks? Well, the altars are open. We'll sing another chorus. You can come if you like. Let's sing this song, There's Room at the Cross for You. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it with me again. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Sing it again. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight.
sun. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Okay. Sister will come up. Be glad to do that.
How beautiful heaven must be, home of the happy and free. We read of a place called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and the free. We read of a place that's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. Sing it again. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. We read of a place that's called heaven. How beautiful. I can come down there.
Okay.
How beautiful. Sing it with me now. Heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. We read of a place that's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, Father. I feel the power of God right now. God, heal this sister. Heal this sister. God, in the name of Jesus, I feel you healing her right now. Heal her in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and the free. We read of a place that's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must. Can you sing it again with me? How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and the free. We read of a place that's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must. Sing it one more time. My, don't that do something to you when you think about going to heaven? That makes me happy. I just feel something running all through me, you know. And free. Oh, we read of a place that's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. Don't you want to go to heaven? Wouldn't you like to go to heaven? Wouldn't you like to be there, you know, see Brother Al in heaven and see Dad in heaven, Mom in heaven? Your dad, your mom, your brothers, your sisters, your loved ones. Some of your relatives that's gone on before. Some of your granddads and grandmothers. Wouldn't you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to be there and see all of your children in heaven? Wouldn't the children like to be there and see you in heaven? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Can you imagine how happy I am? As far as I know, trusting in the grace of God. See, my dad and mother's already gone. I already got them. They're already there, see. It ain't like you now. I don't have to take a chance. It's already gone. But you know what I did? As long as they lived in this world, I prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed. Day and night I prayed. I said, someday they'll pass on. And I can't take no chance. So night after night, I said, Jesus, remember Mama. Remember Daddy. I said, Jesus, remember my brother Junior. I prayed that way. Remember my brother Charles. I'm still praying that way. Still praying that way. Can't take no chance. Because the loss, if I lose them, it's an eternal loss. If I gain them, it's an eternal gain. Not only that, but if I win them to God, and I did win them to God, then they're my spiritual children. And though he was my natural dad here, I'm his spiritual father. See, and the thing is, I will have them as a jewel in my crown. Somebody said, Brother Pike, how in the world are they going to get to be a jewel in a crown? Jesus said, in the crown of life. It won't be the crown on my head. It'll be my soul crowned with eternal living. And everywhere I look throughout eternity, they'll outshine the new day sun. The beauty and the radiance. Hallelujah. And that'll be accredited to me. Somebody say hallelujah. I know it'll be accredited to Jesus. He done it all. He paid it all. He gave it all. Let's sing that song in his behalf. We'll give the glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Every one of you that's my children, you'll be in my crown. Everyone throughout the world, every one, by radio, under the big tent, wherever. And everyone that you ever won, it's like this prepaid legal they've got. You know, everyone that you ever won, I'll have a part in it. See, because though God doesn't have any grandchildren, as somebody said he doesn't have any grandchildren, though he doesn't have any as to what they were saying, but I disagree with him. He's got a whole slew of them. There's none of his children but what they are grand, you know. They're the grandest children of all. So he's just got a whole slew of them. And we see down in the earth the type and the shadow, as there is the father, but there is one father that is great and grand to the children. And there is a mother, but there is another one that's greater than mother. She's the grandmother. You know, and so when we see this, we see what God does. His son came and his son has children. But he's the heavenly father. So you see where the grandchildren come in? Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that again. We'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Now let's lift our hands up together now. Let's close our eyes. Everybody lift your hands up. Close your eyes. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere
lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. If you've never made the commitment to the Lord Jesus, if you've never given your heart to Christ, make the commitment this morning. Don't go away because you don't know whether you'll die young or old. The Bible said in the last days, young men's hearts shall fail them for fear of looking after those things that's to come upon the earth. At Bethlehem, we've had the young women to die. We've had the young men to die. Say so. Be sure that you make everything right. If you've never committed it unto Christ, the Bible said, Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe it. God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. And if you've never made that commitment unto God, then now is the time. While you're standing, while your eyes are closed, I want Brother Collins to come up. Brother Collins from Texas. I want Brother Collins to come up. And while Collins is standing here praying with you, I want you to bow your heads. Reverence the sanctuary, folks. Bow those heads. It may mean your life. Close those eyes. And while you're standing here with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want Brother Collins to come and pray with you. And if you've never called upon Jesus, now is the time. Hallelujah. We're certainly glad to have you this morning. Glad to have our sister Alma. Glad to pray for her. I really felt God do something for her. We're going to see something from that. And I'm glad to have our brother here, Jim. He's back with us. He's been here with us a number of times. Jim loves the Lord. All right, Brother Collins.